Okay, well, welcome to our Christmas cafe style service. We seem to have kind of morphed into this, hasn't it, over the last few years. Just a few things before we start. You should all have a quiz sheet on your tables, which you can fill in during the course of the service if you want, or take it home with you. And I've got an answer sheet, which I'll put at the end with all the answers on, that you can take home with you if you like. I won't bore you with going through all of the answers to the 20 questions. Now, the other thing, you should all have on your table a bowl, and it's got a bauble in it, some coins, a candle, and some red ribbon. We're going to be using that later on during the service, during our prayer time. So I would particularly ask you not to eat the coins before we get there, all right? So we're just going to sort of mess things up slightly, so that's fine. So we're going to start off our service. Hayley's going to come up now and to read to us the first seven verses of Luke chapter 2, which just sets the scene, I think, really, for the birth of Jesus.
In that time, a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while
Quirinius,
was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth, Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of he was and was expecting a child.
Came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Hayley. Okay, we're going to start off by seeing our first carol today, which is In the Bleak Midwinter.
Yeah.
Let's just close our eyes now and just bring our time of worship to God. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to pause for a moment or two just to consider the real meaning of Christmas. Father God, you saw the darkness that lay upon the earth and the sin, Lord, that man had just fallen into. And so, Lord, you decided to send a saviour, Jesus, to save each one, Lord, who believes in him from their sin. Lord, as we gather around today and consider, Lord, the things that happened all of those thousands of years ago, we pray that you might give us a fresh vision, a fresh understanding of the Christmas story. Lord, we know the events tend to be very familiar and we repeat them year after year, Lord, but today we want to really think about what all of this means. But above all, Lord, we want to consider, Lord, what our response is to you sending Jesus to earth. Lord, we just think about our faith, our trust, our belief in him. And we pray, Lord, that we might have that increased, Lord, during this Christmas time. So that, Lord, as we go into this coming week and into the new year, Lord, we might just have our faith refreshed and renewed so that we might serve you better. And we just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to have another reading now. Hayley read the first seven verses of Luke chapter 2. And Sandra now is going to come forward in a minute and read the next verses.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 8. And there were some shepherds living out in the field nearby, watching their flocks by night.
Very sensible, I do. You know.
Do
you? Yeah, yes, I'm on economy 7. Electricity is much cheaper at night. It's much more economical to do your laundry then, you know.
What are you talking about?
Well, she said that the shepherds were washing their socks at night.
No, she said the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. You forget about your socks, you want to think about washing your ears out. Anyway, electricity hadn't been invented. This was 2,000 years ago. Now listen carefully.
And there were some shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching their flocks by night.
That would have been tricky.
What do you mean tricky?
Well, it was night, right?
Yeah, that's what she said.
And at night, it's dark, right?
Yes, and your point is?
Well, how could they watch their flocks, seeing how it was dark?
Oh, no, perhaps they had torches.
Ah, but you said electricity hadn't been invented then.
Oh, maybe there was a full moon or something. Anyway, all it means is they were guarding the sheep. It was their job, and they took it very seriously.
Right, because they were shepherds, so they were taking good care of their sheep,
exactly.
The flock.
Exactly. Uh-huh. They were very responsible shepherds.
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
How did they know it was an angel of the Lord?
I don't know. Maybe he had a train behind him.
What? An Intercity 125?
No, not that sort of train.
Ah, you mean a steam train, as electricity hadn't been invented, had it? Maybe it was the Hogwarts Express.
No, it wasn't.
Well, we could always ask Darren. He knows all about trains.
Look, I didn't mean that kind of train. I meant an angel train. Anyway, all he said was, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The sky lit up.
So they'd have been able to watch their flocks now if the sky was lit up. Well, they could have done a head count.
Yes, except they were terrified. They were probably cowering and shielding their eyes.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord."
So, was the mother of the baby a big woman then?
What?
Well, the angel said, "I bring you news of great joy." So, the mother must have been a large lady then, that he was referring to. What she looked like when she was pregnant.
No, the angel referred to the fact the news was good, and so would fill them with joyfulness. The name is not joy, as you'll soon discover if you're listening instead of interrupting all the time.
Oh, pardon me for living.
"This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests."
What exactly is a manger?
Manger is a feeding trough used by animals.
So I suppose it would be some sort of sign, a baby in a feeding trough. You don't see that sort of thing every day, do you? Well, not a very pleasant sign though, was it? Seeing that poor baby wrapped in rags and the smell of the animal, poor, must have been quite nasty.
When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Hang on, I thought you said that the shepherds took their job seriously.
Yeah, they were taking care of the sheep, you know, watching their flocks by night, if you remember.
Well, how come then they plan to abandon their flocks and dash off to Bethlehem? That wasn't very responsible, was it?
Well, no, maybe not, but it shows they recognised how important the news from the angel was. They planned to leave everything.
Including their sheep,
but to go and see the baby.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Ah, so the mother's name was Mary then.
Oh, yes, well, listen.
Well, the baby certainly made an impression on the shepherds. He must have been really cute.
I think what was more important was that they found things were exactly as the angel told them they would be.
The prediction came true, mate.
Yeah, which shows the baby was somebody very, very special.
In spite of the poverty of his birth.
Yeah, he made them believe that he really was a Christ, just as the angel had said.
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
They couldn't stop talking about their experience then, could they?
Well, no, they couldn't. I mean, they were overflowing with excitement. They told everyone about it, their friends, their neighbours.
Their sheep?
Their sheep. Well, maybe not their sheep.
Oh, I've got it. We should do exactly what the shepherds did. Overflowed excitement at meeting the baby Jesus.
Yes, what's that?
We should tell everyone about it, bar none. The end. A Bible reading like what you've never heard before. Okay, so what we're going to do now, we'll have a song, don't you, that kind of follows it. So anybody like to guess what we're going to sing next? Why Shepherds Watch. We're going to do it to the Ilkley Moor Bar Tap tune, all right?
Thank you.
Right, I'm going to ask Julie now, who's going to come and tell a poem all about getting ready for Christmas.
That wasn't me. The Christmas list. I've just looked at the calendar and I've had a nasty blow. It's already mid-September, only 100 days to go. Soon the lights will be a-hanging up above the busy streets, frenzied shoppers rushing madly, searching for their Christmas treats. In the shops we'll hear Bing crooning of his pure white Christmas dream, drowning out the ring of cash tills and a trampled toddler's scream. I must start my preparations. I know what, I'll make a list. If I can get well organised, then nothing will be missed. We'll start with Christmas cards. Say 100, that should do. Or maybe only 99, omitting a gym in Timbuktu. We'll need tape and coloured paper, scissors, ribbons, string and glue, all for wrapping up those presents that I'll give to, let's think, who? There's Mum and Dad and John and Sue, Great Aunt Nell and Uncle Fred, Chris and Trish with all their kids, Dave, Elsie, Joe, Pat and Ed. But on earth, what on earth to give them all? Last year everyone got socks. I can't repeat that master ploy. I could try a box of chocks. We must have some decorations and fairy lights for the tree. I rather fancy those flashing ones. My friend thinks they're rather twee. We'll need a sprig of mistletoe and a witch to snog our Josh. That reminds me, urgently required, buy some more mouthwash. And then we come to food and drink. But just where do I begin? I'll start with my priorities. Number one comes Gordon's gin. Then turkey with all the trimmings, brandy butter with Christmas pud, satsumas, nuts, dates and crackers. It's all sounding very good. I must put our Christmas stockings up to put out for Father C. But I sense there's something missing. Oh dear, what can it be? I'm sure I've listed everything that will make this Christmas great. We'll be loaded down with presents and I'll have the fullest plate. Yes, of course, at last I've got it. How could I have been so dim? You see, Christmas isn't Christmas if we don't remember him. For God gave us each a present, the very best he could afford. To truly fill our Christmas plates, we must take Jesus as our Lord.
Thank you, Julie. Okay, we're going to have a time of prayer now, and I thought we'd try and do this a little bit differently this morning, which is why we've got these on our tables. And you should have a bauble, some red ribbon, a night light, and some chocolate coins. And basically, what we're going to do, really, we're going to just spend a bit of time using these as kind of prompts, really, to help us to think of things that we need to be praying for during this Christmas period. So I'm using these as sort of representative symbols, if you like, to help us to think about the world, the bauble, really, because it's round and shaped like a globe, to think about the problems that we've got in the world today. The coins, you know, we've got lots of money and things that we have, but you know, many people in the world are really struggling, aren't they, financially at the moment, and you know, just need to have things to help them just to get through the time. Using the ribbon, just to think of at the moment those suffering because of illness and other things as well. And finally, we're going to think about ourselves and our church, because
know, Jesus called us, didn't he, to be lights to other people. So, sections, and I'll hold your thing. So you don't want to take it out of the bowl and put it in front of you just to focus upon as we pray for these particular things. Okay? And we'll be a time of silence, so if you want to pray silently, or, you know, if you want at your tables just to mention a particular concern, or something want to pray out sort of on your tables, then that's fine as well. But let's just pray, shall we? And let's just first of all take out the bauble, and just focus upon that. And just remind ourselves, Father, that you created the earth, and you created, Lord, everything in it. And Father, at this Christmas time, we just bring before you now the problems, Lord, that there are around the world at the moment. Lord, we think of the poverty and the wars and the strife and the natural disasters, the earthquakes and the storms and the hurricanes and things. So let's just take a few moments just to bring before God those things upon our hearts about the problems of the world. Take the ribbon now, shall we? Just take the ribbon out of your bowl and just look upon it. And do we just think of those who are unwell, those who are sick at this time, those who are perhaps in hospital, those who are in nursing homes, care homes, those that are really struggling at the moment because of perhaps of stress or mental illness, or whatever. We think of those coming to terms with the events, Lord, that happened in Germany a couple of days ago. Those families that have lost loved ones and relations and friends at that Christmas market. We just pray for them, Lord, at this time. Spend a few moments just bringing before God those people that you know that are unwell at this time. Take the coins now. It reminds us that God's given us so many gifts, and, you know, most of us are going to enjoy many things over the Christmas period. Think of that poem that Julie just read, and, you know, how realistic that we've become. But we do think of those who are not going to have such a good Christmas as we are. So, Father, we just pray for those who are going to be in financial need over the Christmas period. Those who are going to have to rely on food banks, on other charities, Lord. Think of those churches and places that are going to be organising Christmas dinners, Lord, on Christmas Day. We just pray, Lord, for the volunteers and the helpers in those circumstances. Let's just have a few minutes silence just to remember anybody else, Lord, any other situations, that people that we know about that perhaps we might be able to help over the Christmas period. Just pick up the candle now, the night light. Jesus is the light of the world, and he calls us to be his lights in this dark world. So, Lord, we just pray now for this church, Lord, here at Carey. Lord, we thank you for the discussions that we've been having over the last few weeks about our future. And Lord, we just pray that we might be a light in this dark corner of Kettering, and that you'll guide us and help us and lead us, Lord, to do the right things, Lord, that will spread and show your light, Lord, to those around us. Father, we pray too, Lord, for our families and the people and our friends and at work or in other situations where you call us, Lord, to be lights to them. Just spend a few moments, Lord, in thinking of those people that we know that perhaps we do need to be more of a light to, Father, or perhaps a situation, Lord, where we've kept quiet and perhaps could have just said something that just brings your light to them. Father God, we just pray now that we know that you will hear these prayers, Lord, and we just pray, Father, that, Lord, we might be transformed during this Christmas season into the kind of disciples and followers, Lord, you want us to be. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing another song now, and this is one that we've sung a few times, From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. Now, Hayley's already been poking around at the present at the front of the church here, actually. I don't know about you, I'm a bit of a poker, I am, when it comes to Christmas presents. We have a few of our Christmas presents at the foot of our tree. And Sandra never puts mine out until Christmas Day, because she knows I'm going to go around having a bit of a poke and a bit of a sort of a feel as to what's in them. So I brought a few things along today. Some of them things that you might like to have as a Christmas present, and some you won't. And I'm going to come and ask Albie now. Albie, do you want to come and open the Christmas presents and see what we've got in here, eh? Oh, are you an expert at opening Christmas presents?
Yeah.
Right. Now, we've got four here to open, so which one would you like to open first? Right, yeah. Okay, how do you like that one? That's it. Okay, don't worry about the paper. It'll go in the recycling. Give it a good rip out. Okay. Brilliant. All right, so what have we got here then? Ooh. Well, any idea what they are?
No.
No. Anybody know what these are? Darren? Potato dumplings. German potato dumplings. Now, Hayley thought she quite wasn't, so she's got off it now. Right. Right. Right, do you want to open another one? One then. This, isn't it? Nobody can get any clue what's inside of these. I bet what's currently wrapped up in all this lot. What else have we got? Oh, what's that? Of course, a lot of paper on here. I really wrapped this one up well, you know. That's all. Oh, it was coming out now. Brilliant. That's fine. That's good. Barbara, nearly out now. Nearly out. Come in. Oh. There we are. Oh, that's it. He's got it. Did a grand job here, you know. Oh, there we are. Oh, oh, what's this then? You probably don't remember this, it's a bit dark actually. This is the Tudor mince pie that I brought to the carol service, this is, those of you that remember this. So, the Tudor mince pie made out of clay. Right, so we've got two more things here. Do you want to open that one or that one? That one, come on then. That's it, give it a good tug. Ah, yes. You don't need to practice, are you, for Christmas Day? You won't, Mummy, you know. You're all over, yeah. Is it coming? Is it there? Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, what's that then? Do you know what they are?
Yeah.
What are they?
Tuna.
Fish. Tuna. Sardines. Sardines in tomato sauce. Oh, some pretty weird Christmas presents here. Some potato dumplings, some sardines. My mince pie, which is coming to bits at the moment. Right. Try that one. See if that one's any better. Not as long as yours, Julie. Oh, what's this thing? Oh! Ah! Right. Right, what have we got in there then? Right, so what are they? Chocolate coins. Oh. So, given a choice, now you can either have potato dumplings, sardines, a clay mince pie, or some chocolate coins. Which ones do you think you'd choose? Which ones would you like as a present? Those ones. Right, good. Now, before you can take those home with you in a minute, but before we do so, we're going to look at some of these things. Now, all of these, bar one, have got a sell-by date on them, right? We're all going to sell-by date on them. So, who's got good eyesight? Can read small print on things? Anybody good at that? Right, who'd like to read the small... Who'd like to find out what the sell-by date is on this one? Come on then.
I've
just eaten a chocolate coin. Right. Can you tell me the... Well, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
It's 30th of September 2026.
Right. So they're in date. So you're right. You've got until the 30th of September 2026. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Potato dumplings.
Things. Yeah.
Here we are. October 2024.
October 2024! I'm on the
way to... Yeah, but they say out-of-date food tastes...
Exactly. Well, we shall still eat these, I'll tell you.
Okay. Sardines.
Best before. Exactly.
Sardines. High in omega-3.
Oh.
October 2027.
I've got a long time to think about eating these then, haven't I?
And
is there a sell-by date on that one?
It's not a sell-by date on that, but I can tell you that does not look in date.
Okay, that does not look in date, but there's no sell-by date on that one. Thank you very much, Seth.
That's all right.
Thank you. Right, so, would you like those then? There you go. Give everyone a big clap. Thank you very much for helping, Abby. You can go and sit down now, if you like. I'm sure a lot of us, when we go shopping, look for the sell-by date, or the best-before date, don't we, on things. And sometimes, you know, it's quite difficult, actually, isn't it? And they usually put all the sort of the long-date stuff at the back of the shelf, don't you? So you've got to kind of go rooting around to try and find it. And the stuff they want to get rid of first that's going to go off very quickly is usually at the front. And I just want to think about us, ourselves, actually. We've all got a best-before date, haven't we, or a sell-by date. You know, none of us last forever, do we? You know, God knows what our best-before dates are, doesn't he? You know, we don't, none of us know what our best-before date is. But...
forward to Easter story. You really need, you know, when we look at Christmas, we also need to think about Easter as well, don't we really? That when God sent Jesus to earth, he sent him to bring us eternal life. But he says that eternal life is only available to those who believe and to put their trust in him. So the question today is, isn't it, for each one of us is, are we trusting in Jesus? We put our faith in Jesus. Do we believe? Are we following what he wants us to do? Because God sent Jesus as a human being, didn't he? As a man to this earth, and he grew up and had the same problems and temptations and things as we do. The Bible says, but without sin. You know, Jesus was perfect, wasn't he? He was God. And he wants us to become like him. So perhaps this Christmas, when we sing the Christmas carols and be eating our Christmas food and doing all the things that we do over the Christmas period, let's just thank God that he sent Jesus to give us not a sell-by date, a best before date, but eternal life. God so loved the world that he sent his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. Town of Bethlehem. Shine for Jesus. You probably heard this a few times, I think, at our carol services and things, and we're going to have it on video. The song is going to get us all going. Thank you. finished, we're going to say a Christmas blessing together. So let's all join together to say the words on the screen. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be ours this Christmas, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Exactly.